Hello and welcome back to All About Your Konnichiwa, the podcast with myself, Lorna, and herself, Audrey.
Hey, how are you? Hey, and also do 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 do. All yeah. Ireland champions. Yup, 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 yup.
All right, like whatever, like. We're all thrilled for you down here. All thrilled. Absolutely.
I'm sure
thrilled.
You are. We'll give Sam a nice reception now.
Were you out for it, you were, you?
We just went up to the Carnegie Court, the hotel not too far from here, and watched it there. But it was great. Yeah. It was actually lovely. Hotel that we went to was just 90%. It was just families. So it was very calm, very chill, like just sitting there having your old Sunday lunch. And it was brilliant.
Good, 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 good. That was a good point of the week. Sadly, one of the main stories this week was the passing of poor old Sinead O'Connor. Mm-hmm. Now, that was such a huge, huge shock to everyone, I think. But if you look, you know, when the news broke about her passing there, I'm not on Twitter, but I went over to her Twitter and she had, if you looked at her Twitter account, what she was posting recently was a bit kind of worrying. And you, when you looked, obviously, when she'd passed away, you look at it and you go, oh my God, do you know, was anyone kind of looking out for poor old Sinead? But obviously she was never the same after her son. You know, like she had up on Twitter that there were two halves of the one soul that just broke me altogether. Like, but the thing with Sinead as well is that, and we have to touch on this as well, is that, and you don't want to be insensitive, but sometimes people are a bit hypocritical. After the girl has passed, they're kind of making out as if, oh my God, she was amazing, she was fantastic. Whereas the truth is, a lot of people mocked her mental health. I mean, that time when she was in America there and ended up on Dr. Phil and everything, we were all going, what is she doing? They mocked her when she converted to be a Muslim. When she had the priest thing, we all, do you know what I mean? And now there's like a total 360 and people are, you know, saying how much they loved her, how much they did. Like, you should love her when she's alive, not praise her when she's dead, basically, is what I'm trying to say, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I was wound up no end by just to see. I understand when anybody passes away, particularly somebody in the public light, there'll always be a wave of, you know, just people offering condolences or just acknowledging the passing. So I wasn't shocked to see that. I was kind of shocked to see so many people kind of nailing their flag to the mast as though they were these big Sinead O'Connor advocates and supporters and that they all stood on the same side of the fence, you know, whereas they absolutely didn't. Like, the very same people who would have distanced themselves from her entirely were the ones that now wanted to affiliate themselves closely with her and what she stood for. And that's total nonsense. That pissed me off. I really don't like it, and not just for Sinead O'Connor, when anybody, I don't like when somebody posts a thing on their social media with a tribute and a thoughts and prayers to the family, etc., etc., and without skipping a beat, launch straight into insensitive content. I know that could be an ad, and we'll touch on that now in a minute, but it could equally just be RIP Sinead, thoughts and prayers, blah blah blah, what a legend, lovely person, and immediately into it. Now get ready with me.
I know what you
while
mean,
I
yeah.
Go out for a night out, because it's could you not just wait? Like, there's no,
it's hopping on the bandwagon, isn't it? It's simply hopping on the bandwagon. People see that everyone else is posting, they're going, oh my God, I better post that. But some people literally had a story up, and within 3 minutes their next story was, as you said, was like, oh guys, I just wanted to show you, look, AF, hashtag swipe up there if you want to code off this. And I'm going, sorry, that 3 minutes ago, like, there, you were so upset. Like, that's what's so hypocritical, like, about it. Like, I put my hands up, I wasn't a huge Sinead O'Connor fan. Like, I knew one or two of her songs, but I wouldn't have said that I was, you know, well into her music. But I was aware that she was.
Of course, she's been
huge.
A public figure nearly our whole lives, I think. So, I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Course,
and genuinely, I was so upset, like, at her passing, genuinely was. And I think maybe the fact that I'm a mother as well, that, you know, my heart went out to her over her son last year. And clearly, obviously, I don't know how anyone will get over that. Like, clearly she never got over it. I just thought it was just, I just think she had such a troubled life and everything else. But, you know, it's terrible. But as I said, like, the whole social media side of things was just,
it was sickening. I was really angry, like, flicking through my social media during the week. It pissed me off, because I would rather that somebody didn't post a tribute at all than to post a tribute and immediately follow it up, whether it's with a sponsored post, an ad, or just a completely insensitive, and now I'm getting ready for a night out and now check out my new false tan, or check, just don't do it, because it's, I'd feel for the family or friends of the person that has passed to witness that kind of behavior, because you know the way they say, and the world keeps turning, our life moves on, and when somebody passes away belonging to you, you really feel that so much, because as I mentioned here before, like I've lost family members, and you know, you still have to go do the big shop on a Sunday after losing someone.
Yeah,
and it's
of course.
Pretty bizarre, you know, when you're walking around a fruit and veg aisle and you're kind of filling your trolley, and in your mind you're like, this is not right, this is not right, this is not right, this is not right. It's crazy. Like, your brain is kind of going, how can we just be here doing something so normal when someone we love has passed? I'm actually getting upset even thinking about it. So I can only imagine any family or friend passing through these stories. RIP, such a legend. And you might go, oh, that's lovely. Like, she touched so many people. And then to go immediately into, and now buy this, swipe up for this, or look at me getting ready for my holidays, or come pack with me. Fuck off. Like, it's so disrespectful, it's so insensitive, it just lacks any kind of courtesy or any kind of depth. Like, have you never lost anyone yourself that you didn't stop for a moment to think before you were launched into whatever it was that came next, how it would be received by anyone connected to the person that passed? So I was really angry,
and unfortunately there were a few that used it as an opportunity to lead into their ad. They actually did.
I can feel my heart is racing here even thinking about that, because we won't get into the name of names, those that know.
No, but
know,
there were, we did spot something, didn't we? Eagle
we
eyes.
Because there was someone that had said they were up all night bawling over Sinead's passing. Fair, maybe you were. I possibly were. You may have had a relationship with the woman that I wasn't aware of. And then the very next day, to come onto your story and say, I was so upset and I cried so much that I had to use this particular product to take the puffiness down. And by the way, if you want to buy this product, hashtag ad, click here, swipe up, here's the link. Sweet Jesus. I mean, I don't even know. There's no words for that. Like, and you can give an apology, you can say it's poor judgment, you can say whatever you want to say as an adult woman. I don't understand. Have you never lost anyone yourself before? What is wrong? Where was the disconnect? Where is the human element?
It was extreme poor taste.
God.
And I know that that story was taken down, and I know there was an apology and everything, but at the same time, I wonder if it wasn't called out, would it have just been, oh well, left there?
Sure.
Which it would have been left there, to be honest. Like, and
look, we're giving one example here, but there was a lot of people doing blatant or as
but
jarring.
I do not believe that they, I didn't mean to do that, I didn't realize, I didn't, you knew full well what
I
you were doing.
Think,
like,
when you were writing ad in capital letters
and
in
highlighting
red
it,
font, please piss off if you're telling me, because you had to record what you recorded, which was 1 minute long. Then when you finished your video, you then have to go press the text button and type in what it is that you want to type.
Exactly.
Also, link in whatever. Please, I didn't think you thought long enough and hard enough. That would have taken you at least 3 to 4 minutes to record the content and add all the little bits. I didn't think. Stop it. Like, it makes me so annoyed. So I, honestly, in these situations, I'd rather people just didn't say anything at all. Don't be false. Like, you can acknowledge the death of a celebrity. You can acknowledge the death of what is where she's an icon. She's a legend. She's very well known. She was outspoken. She spoke out about things that other people daren't. And a lot of people disagreed with stuff that she had to say. And that's okay too. Now this flying a flag, like, I affiliate myself with that person only now that they're dead. You literally wouldn't have, if they were still here today, living and breathing and sharing this same content on their Twitter today, you wouldn't be retweeting it, you wouldn't be affiliating yourself with
exactly.
it. So just stop. Like,
it's madness.
Oh God,
isn't it?
I'm so angry. It just makes me so angry.
Oh, well, that was, I mean, it was ridiculous. And I mean, that's the night where, you know, because when the news broke and everyone was, you know, posting saying how awful it was, which of course it was. And I think that's when, because it was late, I think it was late in the evening when the news broke. So at that point, you kind of go, do you know what, now he's out, I'll stay off the stories now. Like, but the amount of people, I couldn't get over it. Like, we're literally, their stories posting, oh my God, isn't it? Oh, so sad, so sad, so sad. And literally straight away, not even like, didn't even like go on a tea break or anything, like literally straight away into it.
Straight in.
You have to look at these accounts and go, my God, like the fakeness of social media, like that's the thing. There's only a handful of genuine, really, real genuine accounts. May I suggest myself and Audrey? But do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, because it's dramatics as well. Like this bothers me so much when people use words like heartbroken, devastated. You're not heartbroken and you're not devastated. It's sad, and you can acknowledge that it's sad, and it's tragic, and it's when people go absolutely heartbroken, devastated, sobbing all night long, lie. I just want a reply gone, lie. You're not heartbroken, you're not devastated, and you weren't sobbing all night long. Like, it didn't mean to you what it meant to anybody closely related to the person that passed away, because if it did, you wouldn't be on your social media within a skip of a beat selling some bloody product. So you clearly were not heartbroken, devastated, or sobbing all night long. Like,
holding your phone at an angle to record yourself crying.
I mean, I reckon that's a pre-record. I think.
I mean, in all fairness, like, if you were really that upset, Audrey, about anything, not just what we're talking about here, if you were really genuinely so upset and you were in floods of tears, would your first reaction be, oh my God, pick this up here, that's great content? I'm a pure ugly crier, so why would I want that all over the internet?
My ugly crying is documented in my highlights, but not like that. Where
yeah, but
telling
that's
my story and
it breaks like,
into a little bit of tears.
Yeah, that's
not like,
different.
Hold on, I'm crying now, quick.
Yeah, quick, get my phone.
You know, and we're not kids here either. You know, we're not talking 20-year-olds. This is fully grown adult women, and I don't know. It sickens my hole, I think is the phrase.
Sickens my hole, and we'd like to send out the message, cop on to fuck all you bloody...
Don't do it again, because if I sleep again, I'm going to go on a mission here now. Like, this will be no. We're not having any more of this crap.
Down with that sort of thing. We will hire the camper van, we'll come to your house, and we'll take the phone off you, right? Okay, so... The other bit of like celeb news then as well, I suppose, right, was see Cardi B firing the feckin' microphone at someone.
I feckin' did. Now look,
what a tug.
Here, I'm on Cardi B's side here. The only problem I have with it was that she hit the wrong person.
Did she hit the wrong person?
Yeah, she hit the wrong person.
But I thought, the way I saw the video, I thought you're one. I didn't think she deliberately meant to get her. I thought she was kind of dancing and the thing went flying, but she rightly got her.
No,
like.
she did it on purpose. So there's apparently a trend. I'm learning this on TikTok and I don't understand the trend. I think it's really weird, but there is a trend. So it happened to Harry Styles. It happened to, there's loads of pop stars that they come out on stage and some head the ball and will throw something, fire something up at the stage purposely to hit the act. I know. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but it's a thing. So it's possible that this person was getting in it. You get some sort of status, I'm sure. For doing it. I don't understand why you would do that, but she 100% fired the drink at Cardi B on purpose. Now, if I was going to stand in the front row of a concert and fire a drink at somebody, I don't think Cardi B would be the person that I would select. She's lucky Cardi B didn't come down off the stage after her. Like, she didn't skip a beat. Sure, she didn't. She had that mic. And
I mean, there's some weight in the microphone as well. Like, I mean, look, I have a stapler here. If I flung that at you, you'd feel that. Like, and there was a thump, like, when she flung the microphone.
There was a wallop.
There was, wasn't there? It's funny, but it's not funny that she got the wrong person.
Got the wrong person. And the person that she got is apparently going to sue her now for
of
whatever.
Of course. God's sake, poor old Cardi. Oh, she got to help us.
Cardi B, I was in such bad form yesterday. I was like, Team Cardi B.
I was like, where can I get a microphone to talk at someone? So come here, I noticed that. All right, you were in a bit of funny form there on your stories, weren't you? The last while, and I think
now apparently it's because of this big supermoon. We're getting a supermoon, and apparently it sends us all mad. So
I don't know. I think I'm mad all the time, to be honest. Like, so I don't know. I don't think I need a moon or anything for it. But anyway, like we've been talking about this before, right? I think we get to a certain age, or maybe it's because, you know, we're at a point in our lives where we're settled. We have the kids, whatever, right? And you kind of sit back and go, is this it? Like there has to be more to life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think where I am was never where I thought I would be. Do you know what I mean? Like, the job that I do and everything, it's just, I started this job years back when I thought I'd be there for 3 months, right? I'm there a long, long, long time. But you just get so settled. And like, you know, you have your, you know, your nice hours, you have your nice rate of pay and all. So you're kind of going, well, why would I leave now? Do you know what I mean? You've built your life around it. You got your mortgage based on it. So in a way, yeah, you kind of feel, ugh, kind of stuck here now. Like, and as well, I'd be extremely nervous to leave. I don't think I could do an interview, to be honest.
Yeah,
honest God, if you sat me at, and if it was a panel where there was like 5 or 6 people, I would know. I'd be like, sorry, excuse me, excessive diarrhea. Sorry, no, thank you. I couldn't cope with it. Like,
just to explain to anybody that's listening to us, if you weren't watching our stories during the week, what we're kind of talking about here is this weird, I won't call it a midlife crisis. It's not that. It's like a work-life balance crisis. Yeah. It's like there has to be more to life than this. And by this, we just mean the Monday to Friday, the 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are, the, you know, being away from your family home 40 to 60 hours a week, including commutes. Like, we're kind of, I don't know, in this place where we're going, this can't be it. Like, this can't be right. That when you get to a weekend, all you've got time for is the big shop to tidy your house, and then you're getting ready to do it all again the following week. And yeah, there's this voice for me for about a year and a half now. And it's nothing to do with where I actually love, genuinely, and I mean this, I love where I work. I'm very privileged actually to be involved in an awful lot of really cool and exciting things. So it's not about that. It's just, I feel like us, me, you, and all of society that are operating within that kind of Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 parameters, this is not what we're meant to be doing. I can't help but think that we're doing it wrong, that life shouldn't be this way, that we shouldn't be spending 40 to 68 hours, you know, like working for someone else. This voice has just been at me for about a year and a half, 2 years now, going, there has to be more to it than this. Like, we're doing something wrong. I feel like when you're working within those parameters, you're so kind of boxed in and trapped and confined that even if you had other talents, even if you had a creative streak or you had something else that you might be good at, you'll never have a chance to find out. Like, you're so busy just doing that Monday to Friday 9 to 5 that you don't actually get the chance to explore or to, like, and then of course there is the fear, like you're kind of touching on there, that stability and that income. I mean, that's addictive, like, you know,
like that's a huge factor, I think, because I would think myself that I'm probably creative or whatever, right? And I know myself, if I applied myself to doing something, I probably could do it, but there's no regular income with that. Like, I have a mortgage to pay. If I was 20 and still living at home with my mom and dad, then yeah, not a bother. Like, but that's the fear, like, and as well the fact that I have like crippling social anxiety as well, like the amount of times, and not saying, oh God, the amount of times I've been asked, but people have said, would you ever do like stand-up comedy? I just don't have it. I have a fear, like I just couldn't do it. Whereas I can do these Instagram videos and all, not a bother. But, you know, that doesn't pay the bills. Do you know what I mean? To make anything of it, you'd have to go out and do shows and stuff. And I'm just not able for that. Like, I'm just a chicken when it comes to that stuff. But I get exactly what you're saying. It's like, I feel, even with the summer, right? Like, I know now we're into August, but I feel the summer has just gone. I feel I haven't spent enough time with Charlie. I really do. I feel I haven't done enough with him over summer. And it's like, I don't know why, because obviously, I don't know what it is. I just have this feeling that I would love to be at home basically all the time. I don't want to be rich. I just want enough to survive, to pay my mortgage and my bills. Maybe go on an odd holiday once or twice a year, do you know what I mean? Twice. I deserve twice a year. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, but my priorities have totally changed. Like, I know on your stories you were asking about, you know, are you career driven and ambitious and all that? And I think I probably would have been, but now I'm more focused on like family life. Do you know what I mean? Like, whereas my priorities now would be family life. I'm ambitious to a point, but not overly, if I'm being honest. Not overly, and not anymore.
I think when we ask ourselves that question, am I ambitious, am I career driven? I think that we probably are, but also we value obviously home life and balance. And so because we're kind of trapped in this confine of, in your mind, to be ambitious or to be career driven, means to succeed within that kind of 9-to-5 parameter, to just climb the ranks there, to become a whatever the manager is, and then the manager's manager and the manager's manager. But I also want to be at home with my family. And so you're restricted. Your growth is restricted because you're like, I can't give 100% to this because I want to give as much of myself as I can to my home life. So I can't succeed within these parameters. And yeah, I do believe that we have these talents and skills and abilities that could see us succeed outside of that. If we could just break, if we weren't so afraid, if we weren't so kind of anchored by that need for the stable salary, that need, you know, like,
yeah,
it definitely holds you back. Not just us. Loads of people are held back by that need to pay the bills. They need to pay the mortgage. And so you can't just go fulfill your potential in another area, because you're like, well, ultimately I need the weekly salary or the monthly salary or whatever the case may be. And that's what's driving me nuts, because there's a big part of me kind of going, oh God, I think I could be really good at other things, but I can't leave the thing that I'm doing now, because ultimately the thing that I'm doing now is providing.
And it's all well and good for people to go, take a chance, you know, just do it.
Yeah,
take
on,
a chance. Like that's, and I'm all for, like, you know, having a vision and all that. That's grand. But if you have a car loan, you have a mortgage, you can't. You just simply can't. And I think anyone that goes, oh, just take the chance, you're then, you know, fly up my arse, like, because you're talking out my arse, basically. You can't do that. Like you can't just do that, get yourself in the height of debt, risk fucking, like, losing your house and everything for, like, the sake of something that might work out. Like, and I'm all for thinking positive. I don't, my stories are that I'm trying to become a wellness head, right? I don't know what it is. I don't know, because I'm walking or what, or going out in the mornings, but
what's happened to me. That's what's going on. The walks have us driven demented.
I think they have, because I was never like this before. If someone said to me, like, oh, I'm all about positivity, I'd be like, sure, that fool. Like, now, do you know what I'm doing in the mornings? I'm coming off Instagram and off my phone because I need to listen to the birds singing and I want to see the sun. I'm like, sorry, what? Sorry? Who are you, like? Do you know what I mean? The other day we were going for a spin in the car and we saw this, do you know, these boy racer cars, like the real loud, they bug me, like, and my husband, look at the state of that car, my husband said, and I went, Asher, God help us, Asher, he's only trying to make them up. I made excuses for the boy racer, and even he was looking at me going,
what is
wrong with you? Like,
I think we're having epiphanies. I think that's what's going on here. Like,
I swear to God, like, I was on my walk this morning and I was going, I'm going to say yes to more things. Do you know what? I'm going to say yes to more things. I'm going to be positive.
Well, I'm with you on that one. I think we should start saying yes to more, because I'd be like you. I'd be not turning down invites or turning down opportunities, because for what? Like, I don't know, like, because of the Irishness, because of that. Like,
it's the Irishness and it's the mortification.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just the mortification. Like, I don't think I'd fit in to these these blogger events and stuff like that go on, that you'd see on Instagram and on.
I would feel like
a fish out of water. I don't know why. I just would. It's just not my scene. But I probably should try and do it a bit more, because that's probably what's holding us.
Where there might be,
like,
opportunity. Because what I'm big into at the moment is trying to figure out where we can break the mold, you know, without giving everything up. Because what I was going to say to you there is, some of the biggest entrepreneurs or the most successful entrepreneurs are people that took massive risks, that literally maybe filed bankruptcy or mortgaged their houses out against a business idea. Crazy shit that I would not, my heart would stop at the thoughts of doing anything like that. That's how people become successful, because they do take these big massive risks. So I'm not prepared to take that kind of risk, and neither are you. So it's almost like I'm trying to find the gap. Where can I, in the time that I have, without sacrificing my family life, without sacrificing my work life, what other minutes are there in the day that I can utilize to take a run at something, you know, to give something a go? And I can see, like, for you, it's almost the same. It's like, you have I love your sketches, I love your videos, and I'm kind of like, right, where can you turn that into something that you could, maybe it would be less of a risk, you know, like, that you could grow it and turn it into an opportunity. Like, a lot of the people I was talking to did say that where they were very ambitious and career driven in their younger years, COVID changed things for an awful lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. So, I'd say absolutely,
that being at home, and I suppose the scariness of, we literally all just lived through a life-changing pandemic.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. And that perspective that everybody got on life, like, of that appreciation that we all suddenly had, and also for a lot of people that had never worked from home before, ever.
Yeah.
And then they did, and then they're like, oh no, I like this,
But even nurses and doctors, I wonder how many of them have worked through the pandemic and gone,
no,
this isn't for me.
I know one.
Oh, I'd say there's a lot of them, Audrey, though, because the stress of that, like what they had to go through, like, was crazy. Yeah.
Well, the girl that I know is actually retraining now to be a GP because the hospital doctorness was horrendous, awful, just completely awful. Like, so they're going to retrain and become a GP. I think they're going to specialize. But like, yeah, it was a life changing thing for an awful lot of us. Like, and a lot of people in my DMs just said, no, that work life balance. And that you kind of appreciate, we're only here once, we only get one go at this. And no one's going to thank you for all the hours that you put in the office when, you know, your kids are never going to turn around and be like, I'm glad you went to work so much, ma'am.
Yeah.
Or dad, because I know for Dave, he'd never worked from home before. We were like, COVID was awful, but for us, it brought an awful lot of positives too. We'd just become parents. And for a long awaited child as well, you know, we had a big long story of our own, and suddenly we had this little boy, and we both got to be at home with him, which was amazing. And even Hugh did not go to Junior Montessori until he was 2 years and 8 months. He was at home. We juggled him between us. Like, we worked from home, and not one of us missed a single step, a single.
Like, that's, you know, brilliant. Like, that's brilliant.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Now, if the life had been different, I would have either had to go back to work at 6 months, or maybe I would have had to take unpaid leave and possibly gone back after a year. What was my plan at that year? I don't know. Was I going to put him into childcare? Well, like, I really not sure. I'm glad I never had to cross that bridge, because as it turned out, we just got to be at home with him. But they were huge positives. And once you get a little taste for that, you're like, I'm not going back.
I'd imagine it's so hard then to go back, like, especially when you had like a new baby and everything. So hard to get back into it. Now, it's bad enough for anyone going back after maternity leave. Like Jesus, Charlie's 4 and a half and I'm still not over it. I cried. And it's terrible, that feeling you have when you have to go back after maternity leave. But
you feel a bit like an alien, don't you? Yeah. You feel like
there's a part of you missing. That's the way, not to sound cheesy, but it is. I had this thing like, oh my god, he's going to be heartbroken, but I'll be sure you can give a shite, like. But it's just, I remember being saved from work and I was like, send me a photograph.
I felt really weird when I went back into work, as in like, I was like, I don't fit in here. I don't belong here. Like, as if it had all changed so drastically that I was no longer part of this world anymore. Like, I had completely disassociated. I was gone for so long because we were working from home, that by the time I went back in, I literally was like fish out of water. I was like, no, this isn't for me. And I felt like people were like looking at me or thinking about me differently. Now, that's in my own head, because nobody has the time to be thinking about you the way you're thinking about you.
Yeah.
But I felt really odd. As odd is just the only word I can give.
It's probably like starting a new job again, isn't it? It's probably that feeling when you start a new job.
Treating you like the new person. So you're not getting any special, do you want me to show you this or do you want me to show you that? I remember when Teams and Zoom came in, we never really used them in work before the pandemic. I went back in and everything is Teams and Zoom. And I remember being like, I don't even know how to open the...
Yeah.
I didn't even know how to get them started. Like, so it was a really strange feeling going back in. But that flexibility that you had and that loveliness, like, I know even working from home, sure, I could be down with him, run up to take the Teams call and then run back down to him again. Like, that was brilliant. But like, I could never give that up now. Like, I can never give up that flexibility now. So, you know, when they started recently, workplaces in general were like, oh, we're all going back to the office. I was like, we are in our fucking
No, we're not.
No, flying that flag for the work-life balance, all the work is getting done. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
And I think as well, like, I don't know, I genuinely think I might be having a midlife crisis, and I'm not even saying that to be funny. I think I actually might be, because one, the whole, like, I don't know how I'm after getting into the walking, right? Because I'm telling you, when we started this podcast, remember we started and we were going to do a 5K challenge. And I remember going, yeah.
Right. I know, actually, yeah.
Do you remember that back at the start? And at the thought of that, I was like, not a hope. But I actually, the last two days, I didn't go. And I was supposed to go yesterday evening or something. And it started raining. So I was like, oh, no, I'm not. But I felt sluggish. I actually felt a bit, I don't know. And that's not me at all. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not a walker.
And you feel a bit guilty. Like, you let yourself down.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So then this morning I set my alarm and I was like, oh, just get up and do it. But I felt way better. I came back, went off to work, delighted with myself, belly full of porridge, delighted, going off
but
to work.
I don't think it's midlife crisis. If you think before this, you never gave yourself that 1 hour a day to just go off. You didn't have that. You didn't have that for the first 4 years, I'd say, of Charlie's life. Yeah. You didn't have yourself that 1 hour a day. Now, all of a sudden, you have this 1 hour a day. Now, I know you. You go off. You do your funny skits. You're chatting to your phone. You're just enjoying the sunshine. That's an hour a day for your brain to just breathe.
Switch off. Absolutely, and switch off. And I think everyone needs it. And no matter what way you do, I'm not saying, I'm not telling anyone to go for a walk or anything, but even just to go up to your bedroom for half an hour to yourself, just go for a bath, do something, take a bit of time for yourself. Because, like, I suppose, this is why I think I'm having a midlife crisis. I'm like reevaluating everything. I'm like,
you're not. You're having little epiphanies because you've finally given yourself that 1 hour.
I actually think so. Yeah.
Society is designed in a way to keep us so fucking busy that we don't have a moment to think for ourselves outside of what do I have to do next? What has to be done now? What have I? Blah, 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 blah. And you're constantly on this hamster wheel of thought that you never get. What you have now is that 1 hour. And what I have now is that 1 hour of your brain to go, why are we doing this? Like, you don't. I truthfully believe society is set up intentionally so that we don't have the opportunity to actually go, hang on a minute. Like, we're just on this hamster wheel of what? Of one day into another day into another day of like a factory kind of assembly line.
Yeah.
No, hold on. We could do things differently. I could switch things up a little bit here. I'll get up an hour earlier. I'll take an hour for myself. Then that hour gives you a chance to go, what else can I do differently? Could I reduce my hours and work maybe? How much would it work out? Would it work out that differently? And if it does, could I earn that money elsewhere? How else could I earn that money? Maybe there's another way I could earn that money from home. And your brain is just like, boom, fireworks going off all over the place. And you're like, why did I not think of all these things?
Yeah, because you'd nearly feel a little bit guilty, as you said, for taking that time for yourself. Like I have a thing like, oh, I don't want to go in the evenings because I want to be around for Charlie in the evenings and stuff like that. Whereas this going out in the morning when I know he's asleep suits me grandly.
Guilt-free. Exactly.
And what I'm starting to do now is kind of look at the grand scheme of things and I'm going, do you know what? All along, if I am a people pleaser, always have been, and I always kind of worry about what everyone else thinks, or you know, I should be doing what people think I should be doing instead of doing what I want to do. Whereas since I turned 40, right, I may come across rude and stuff, I've switched off. I'm like, do you know what, people now that are negative or you know that I don't want around me anymore, I'm literally like, snip snip, good luck to you, like gone, absolutely gone. I'm not tolerating shite from anyone anymore. I'm not tolerating shite from anyone anymore, but I'm trying to be more positive.
But you know, placed a value on your own time now. You've placed a value on your own time and you're not willing to give up your time to someone that's not worth it. Like, you're just not.
Exactly, because you know what, life is stressful enough and there are situations that are so bloody stressful that everyone goes through for all different reasons. But you know what? You have to kind of go, do you know what? Instead of putting everyone else before myself, it's just like, I'll be honest, like last year for me was extremely stressful. If I'm being honest, since 2020 for me were extremely stressful. Do you know what I mean? But I did myself no favors. I did nothing to, and it's only now I'm seeing it. I did nothing to help myself. Like, even just with the weight, not that the weight defines you or anything, right?
No,
but I piled on the weight. I mean, I was the heaviest I've ever been. And I just didn't care. I had no incentive to get up off my arse and do anything. I wouldn't go for a walk. I kind of resigned myself to the fact, like, oh, well, sure, look, this is
it for me now. I know. And
what happened, right, was
when you're getting dressed, you're dressing yourself in a way that makes you as invisible as possible. I don't even want anyone to notice
black.
Who's in the room. Yeah.
All black.
Don't
and then
look
like,
at me, like
I wouldn't go anywhere because I didn't want to get dressed up and all this. No, I'm still like that. Like, I'm not saying I'm fucking cured or anything. I'd still every woman, we all have our fucking insecurities, do you know what I mean? But like, I think you have to, and again, ladies, when you turn 40, you might get this realization as well. You just have to kind of do what you need to do for yourself to be happy, you know, cheesy and all as that sounds like, but like,
yeah, mind, you're only talking to giving yourself an hour per day. It's not like you suddenly said,
I know, yeah,
that's it now, you know, I've hired a nanny.
Audrey,
Charlie,
I tell you what I did, right? Did you know, on Netflix, they have these new things on Netflix, right? And one, I swear to God, right, one was yoga. So I was there, but one at Netflix going, Jesus, I don't know, will I give that a bash, right? I can't even stretch up to the top shelf in my cupboard, right? So I, anyway, your one anyway was like, oh, it's for beginners. You're just sitting there and you're doing deep breaths. God. I was like,
are
not
you
a bother.
Yoga head now?
And then she's like, oh, do a stretch. And I'm like, oh. And then got down on the floor, right? I could feel my back going. I was like, oh, Jesus. And I'm at the age now, Joe, where I have to get up off the floor and I have to go, do you know what I mean? So at the end, I did about 5 minutes. I was battered after it. Absolutely battered. I'm so unfit. Like, I'm sure I think
everyone
because I go for a walk that I'm
that
so
yoga,
fit.
Yoga, particularly like that, if you've sore back and stuff, they say, and now I haven't done it myself, so I can't swear. But I'm looking at it. It's interesting.
I couldn't keep a straight face if I had to go to a yoga class.
No, but you can do a lot of it online now. So you're just watching.
That's grand, yeah. Like, you can laugh at yourself. Like, but there's another one. Do you remember during COVID, everyone was watching Walk at Home on YouTube? Did you ever see? Oh my God, Audrey, look it up. It's an American one. Leslie, she's huge. She's millions of followers. Like, but it's literally walking on the spot. And she's like, walk, walk, walk. Come on, walk, walk, walk. It's so funny.
She didn't do those funny videos, did she?
I had a video of mocking her. Well, I wasn't mocking her. I was doing it like during COVID. And the sweat would be coming out of you like doing it. So Leslie, she's a fierce woman. Like,
okay, I'm going to go look her up.
There you go. If you're having a midlife crisis, look up Leslie there. Walk at Home on YouTube.
I don't think you're having a midlife crisis. I think the stars are aligning for you. I think the 1 hour a day has made such a huge difference. It's given you an opportunity to think, to breathe, to relax. It's a guilt-free hour because you're getting up that bit early in the morning. And I think good things are going to come out of it. I actually do. I think your creative juices are flowing now. And even for myself, it's just a matter of, like, right now it's all, it's a lot of thoughts. And it's getting them out on paper and it's making them make sense. But I think good stuff will come from it. But right now it just feels like an awful lot, doesn't it? It's almost intense because it is like your fireworks going off all over the place and you don't even know how to process all these new thoughts that are running through
your head. Yeah, because I'm terrible at time management and I've always said that. I cannot manage my time. Like, and I have this thing, if I have two things to do in a day, there are two things I could probably get done in the space of 2 hours. But for some reason, in my head, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to take me all day and I have to go here, I have to go here, I have to go here. Like, even today now, I was in such a rush and the smallest little thing, like, I made a boo-boo there where I had to go back somewhere. And I was like, oh my God, that's my day completely thrown. Like, and I'm like, oh, we can't do this, can't do this. And then I'm like, I don't know why I get myself so worked up, but if I could just manage myself at fucking 40 years of age, like if I could just manage myself, manage my time, like try and make a conscious effort even to go to bed early. Like Instagram now, I turned it on quiet mode at night time. I was a fecker for like inside in bed scrolling through TikTok. Like,
I still am. That is me.
Oh, I do as well. Oh, come here. I'm not saying that I don't, but I'm trying to put the phone down by 10 o'clock at night and, you know, try.
I'd say between the hours of 10 and midnight, I probably send out about 400 TikTok videos to people on my phone that I picked up. I'm like, watch this. This is gas. We'll just send them off. For about 2 hours there, I just fire everybody a TikTok.
Oh, yeah. And they're so stupid. Like, you think they're hilarious. Like, in the next morning, you're like, oh my God, it's like sending a fucking video of
a
chihuahua
drunk,
farting or something, like to your friend.
Or something. Like, what was I thinking?
Oh, God. But we have to look after ourselves. We have to look after ourselves. So take that hour, everyone. Take the hour.
Do great relax. Things will come from that 1 hour a day, just giving yourself, your brain, a little break.
Yeah.
What else?
We're wellness heads now. We're just into wellness. Actually, Audrey, I actually am. I know, when I started listening to, do you know Georgie Crawford? Like, I follow her on Instagram. I follow her on Instagram, but for some reason, she never really pops up. So I never see her stories or anything like this. But I got her book, The Audible Book. I'm like, what type of book isn't me at all? Like, do you know what I mean? And I'm actually listening to one, and she's on about now, like, don't eat.
Lord,
did you read her book?
No, you said, was it today or yesterday? This morning. Oh my God, I should have known you were listening to Georgie Crawford, because you said something about running, and then you're like, oh, you know, maybe I could run. That's enough of that. You got that from Georgie Crawford. Georgie Crawford inspired me to think that she could die. So she never ran. And obviously she had her diagnosis and her treatment. Yeah. And then she just took off running one day. And then she was like, oh my God, I can actually run. And then she says to herself, like, you know, well, maybe I could be a runner. And that seemed so alien because she was like, never had done any fitness whatsoever. She said that, even hearing you saying that this morning, I knew you were listening to Georgie Crawford in some capacity.
I'm only on like the second chapter. Like, I'm not miles into it. I only got it last night.
I was going for a walk one day. Remember the day I was off for a walk and I said, I wonder if I could run from here to the end of the road.
I remember that. Georgie Crawford.
That's where all that came from. And then I was like, I'll just try a little bit more. And then I'll just try a little bit more. All Georgie Crawford. She's
I'm sorry now. Audrey, is this not a sign? Both of us have read Georgie, thank you. Myself and Audrey would like to announce that we will be taking part in the New York Marathon.
Steady on.
This time next year.
Influence. That's so weird.
That is weird, isn't it?
That's a bit
strange. I follow her on Instagram, but like I never kind of see her stories. And I was actually down in the Kilkenny shop there the other day, and I'll tell you, this is why I think I'm like having an episode or something, because I bought this book and it was something like I don't know, was it Calm Your Anxieties or something, Find Your Strength, some shite anyway, right? But it was like a workbook. And I remember the book has got, oh, that's lovely. I've only read 4 pages so far, like I go through these stages. But it actually looks like a good book. So then I went, you know what? I'm going to find like a wellness podcast now or something and see if I can listen to it. But anyway, I ended up getting Georgie Crawford's book and like her voice as well. She's reading the audiobook, her voice. Oh my God, it's just like butter, like it would put you at ease. But even just the way she reads the book, I was listening to her.
All right, Lorna, calm down.
I don't fancy Georgie, right? But I'm just saying, listen, I'm telling you, Georgie's going to have us run in a marathon. Watch this space. When's that on?
That's so strange, though, because when you said it this morning, it just gave me this little, like, that's weird. Just the way you said it, I was like, oh, she's being inspired. And it was the Georgie Crawford thing that went, she had ruled herself out of, like, could you imagine ever, like, being a sea swimmer, normally. Could you ever imagine like doing a 5K jog of a Saturday morning? You're like, no, allergic. Mm-hmm. But this morning, you allowed a tiny thought to go into your head just for a split second to go, maybe I could run. And I did that day. I went, maybe I could run. Now, I actually stopped running only because with Body Slims and the program, when you're in weight loss mode, they prefer you just to do a high intensity walk as opposed to a run, because your main aim during that phase is weight loss, as opposed to your fitness level, it's a weight loss. So I stopped the running, but I was thinking of just trying again. But
were
again,
you like proper running though?
Now I literally ran, I'd say a distance. I wish I knew my distances.
Do it in minutes.
For 3 minutes, we'd say nothing. Like I'd be walking, and then there was one stretch of the road where I went, I'm just going to run from here to the end of this road.
But Audrey, that is a lot though, because like I don't even think I can run. I've never tried running.
Can I run? And I was like, oh, so I ran it the first time. Then I did a lap. When I came back the second time, I ran it the second time. And when I came back the third time, I was nearly like gearing up for it as I got to that part of the road. And I took off and I ran it. Now, I was like, stop it. And my poor old Fitbit was like calling a medic. Or
call the medic,
in the distance.
Yeah.
Like, but I did it. But it was that part of, I never did PE in school. I never would have brought the gym gear in on purpose. I was never in a fitness club. I was never on a sports team. I never did. And no, I was
sticking. Yeah, I never did either.
Naturally, I was just a skinny mini. But I never did fitness. I never did any sort of physical sports activity ever in my whole life. The only thing I've ever done is walking. And so to entertain a little thought, even if it was only a fleeting thought of going, could I run? That's new territory for me, to have never entertained those thoughts before, like to even let it float in. So did you hear about this? Like there's the couch to 5K. There's a thing where like you walk 4 minutes, you run for one.
Yeah.
You walk. I'm thinking of giving that a go. To see,
yeah, because you can get that on your phone, is it? So it should pop in, like it should tell you when to run and everything, like
yeah maybe just to see could I do it. But if I do it, who the hell is this? Because
but I wonder, like you'd often see these ones and they get addicted to running, and I'm always going, oh, I'd love to be like that, like, but I don't think it's for me. Like, see Suzanne Jackson, they're over in Portugal, she got mad into the spinning, like
I can't watch Suzanne Jackson. The jealousy is just too much.
It is upsetting, all right, isn't it?
When I look at a belly that's made of stuff like that, I'm like, is that stuff already is that in here? Like am I kind of like one of those bars of chocolate where it has the heart center wrapped in the soft like does that exist inside my cord? Like I can't imagine that same bits are in me. I think she's got different bits than the bits I have.
And like when I see her on her stories, she's like, oh yeah, just going in. And then my first thought is like, Jesus, I couldn't know sit in a saddle like that for over an hour. Like, but then you look at Suzanne and you're like, you should be sitting on a saddle instead of sitting on your arse. Do you know what I mean?
Said to me before, they were like, isn't it mad to think that no matter what size we are, we all have the same skeleton inside, like the same skeleton is inside each body, and then what you wrap on top of that skeleton is like up to you. And I remember thinking about that going, oh my god,
I don't think that's true though, because you know, often there are people going, you know, a big boned, what if people, some people are just big boned, like, do you know what I mean,
but
if they're broad, like
boned. Yeah,
but you know, listen, how do you know, like, have you seen every skeleton?
You might have slightly broader.
I'm sorry. I don't think I have the same skeleton as Suzanne Jackson. I'm just going to say it there now. Or has she gotten a few ribs removed or something? Like, she must have, like, she's not a human at all. Like, I'm so jealous of her. So jealous.
Like, when they dig up all our graves, do we all actually have the same fucking skeleton in there? Like,
no way.
Hard to imagine, isn't it? When I look at her stomach, I'm like, that's just now. No, that's implants or something. That
it's implants, yeah.
That can't be real.
I tell you, if I drop another 2 stone, I'll be out with the Sharpie drawn on abs to do my Britney Spears dance.
Contouring them on with a bit of tan.
My contour, geez. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, well, awful.
We're hitting heads now. We're having epiphanies. We're shaking it up. We're changing how we do things. We're calling out liars and bullshitters. Jesus, what else have we got going on this week? What else are we doing?
Just putting the world to rights, you know.
Really, we're one doing day a great job, I have to say.
One day at a time. We're manifesting. Do you ever get into the old manifesting?
I'm a big fan, and I really have always done this. I'm not manifesting per se, because I would have done this before I even knew what those words were. But I love to visualize the outcome. So if I was going for an interview for a job, for example, I'd buy the clothes that I planned to wear when I had that job. Or I'd, you know, big into visualizing, like, beyond the, so whatever it was, an interview, college, I'd be seeing myself at the graduation and I signing up for the course, you know, like, so I used to do that long before I've ever heard of the words manifesting or visualize or any of that. Like, that's just something I always would have done. And my dad was always like, because I'm stupidly hopeful, like I've told you that before, I'm hopeful to the point of absolute naivety. But my dad would be like, now, don't get your hopes up here and you won't be disappointed. I used to be like, what? Why would I be disappointed? Like, I was like, he would be trying to protect me. I'm just saying, like, you know, just manage your expectation. And my expectation was already doing leaps and bounds. Like, I was already, after winning the medal or getting the job or whatever it was, I had it done. And I always did. I always worked out. So I've only ever not got one job in my whole life. And that was
That's good. Well, I see your words pointed, yeah.
Yeah. But I just always saw myself on the other side of whatever the hurdle was. Like, I was always like,
well, that's a good way. That's a good way to be, like, and a good way to see things. I wasn't ever really into all that, like, but well, I suppose sometimes I would, like, do what you were doing, like, visualizing things like that. But there's everyone out for, like, affirmations and stuff. You know, they seem to be all the rage, you know, in the morning, like, stand in front of the mirror and be like, you're a right. You're absolutely fantastic. You've no roots in your hair and you're not chubby. You're gorgeous, right?
And your boobs are on point.
Yeah, they won't knock you out if you try running. Just do it.
I think I'm going to send you a daily mantra video every morning. Morning, Lorna. Gorgeous here. I just wanted to let you know that you're fabulous.
Oh my God. I do, you know what? That's an idea. I'll do the same to you now.
We could sell them. Wait, now. We could record personalized affirmations for people. And in the morning, we could be like, hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary. And then, like, I could bring in characters as well. Like, I could be like Lindsay, being like, morning, fucker. But you know what I mean?
Write that down, that's a business idea.
There we go, trademark that. Oh God. So any more news, Audrey, before we wrap it up? Have we had
other news have we got? Only that Big Brother is coming back, which is kind of exciting, because once upon a time, before it went to shite, like in the
That's
early
what I was
years,
going to say. Like, do you remember, it was good years ago, but I don't even know, like, what channel is it on? Is it on ATV? I don't know who's presenting it.
I thought Channel 4 took it back, did they?
Oh, did they take it back?
I don't know. I'm just excited. I loved it. And for years, we were obsessed with Big Brother.
It was, like, good.
everybody was, so it wasn't just us.
And do you remember when it was finished and they'd click onto the live cameras and you'd be like, oh.
I remember coming home from a night out, like I come in the door at 2 a.m. and my mom and my sister were up at 2 a.m. watching the live feed because a big fight had broken out that night in Big Brother. And like the two of them were sitting there. I wandered in, a few cheeks to the wind, and they're like, do you want a cup of tea? Sit down here, wait till you see what's going on. And all you could hear was crickets. Like, you remember it was the crickets.
Yeah,
sound.
Yeah, yeah.
And then every now and then the real sound would come on for like a few seconds and they'd be glued to it. Like, so those were the best days of Big Brother. Do you remember? There was one, whose eviction was it? It could have been Jade Goody that year, and all the power went out in Dublin 9 where I live, so everyone was sitting there watching it, and just as they were about to say who has been evicted from the Big Brother house, power cut, everybody into darkness, like nobody knew what was going on. There was chaos. You could hear the screams of people in other houses. It was like there was a massacre of we all had to wait till the power came back up on and then get the TVs back on and then find out who.
Actually, I think Brian Dowling as well had something up this week. Is it 20 years since he won it? Or is
Way,
it more?
Is it?
20, I think. Yeah, 20 years.
I saw some
he was only a baby then. Like,
he was in the same one as Nikki. Who is she?
Yeah, poor old Nikki.
Yeah, well, she was an icon. Oh my goodness, like she was unbelievable. They had some great characters, didn't they? You wonder, was it just because of the innocence?
What's your man from Dublin?
Raisha?
No.
Oh, Mark.
Wasn't he in California?
You know, my friend got married and she had Mark as the stripper at her hand party. So I've seen Billy Ding Dong.
Yeah. I know who he is now.
Yeah, he was in California. And he's actually from like Santry Valley One. And he was the stripper at the hen do. He's actually very good. I have to give him 10 out of 10. I would highly recommend.
You'd wonder what he's doing now, though. I'm still
he's a genius now. He lives in the States. Like, he was always a genius, apparently. And he went
what?
To the
seriously?
I swear to God, yeah. Was always like super, super clever. He had an awful upbringing. He had an awful lot of tragedy in his life. But he went over to the States because like he came to a point where he was like, actually, I don't want to be this person anymore and I'll never walk away from it here. So he went off to the States. He got like some postgraduate science-y degree, some really like genius degree. And he's a whole new life over there. Like,
brilliant.
Recent enough, he took part in that show. You know where they do all the army stuff, like the army drills? I can't remember what the name of the show was.
Oh, like Fit Families or something?
Kind of, but it was like where they were, literally they're out on the army barracks and they're doing all like the horrible training and the horrible conditions. He took part in some show because he's super fit as well. And he gave a few interviews, kind of just gave everyone an update on where he was in his life and off he went back to his life there. But he's a whole new character now, but the only way he was ever going to achieve that was to just
to get out of there. Yeah
walk away. So he lives elsewhere. I think he has a wife or he has a long-term fiance now, but he just has a whole new life for himself.
That's good. I love hearing stories like that. That's good.
He just started all over again, gave himself like a clean slate and began again. So
well, there you go. Now we take a lesson now from Mark, because if Mark can do it, so can we. So New York, here we come for the marathon next year.
Maybe. Oh God.
Will we start with like a mini marathon or something just to warm ourselves up? Like,
I could walk the ladies mini marathon, but maybe we could look to go in the like jogging part of the mini marathon and work from there. That's maybe we should do it in baby steps.
Yeah, okay, next year. So for jogging, yeah.
Okay I'm saying
I'll get back to you. Go on. So look, we'll go away and we'll be back to you next week anyway. And as always, if you want to contact us with any ideas or anything, you can contact us on social media at Ola the Podcast or by email olathepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you could as well, we'd really appreciate it as well if you could like the podcast or subscribe and even leave us a review, because your feedback is kind of what, you know, gives us the direction and what way we can take this podcast as well. So we'd really appreciate any reviews that you could give as well. Yeah, all right, so we'll talk to you.
Say thanks to the guys that gave us lovely ideas as to who we might have join us.
Yeah.
So thank you. We got some really, really good ideas there. And keep that stuff coming, even if we don't have a box up on the page. If there's someone you think whose story, you know, we could share that would work well, give us a shout anyway and let us know.
Perfect. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.